Sort of reminds me of when one of the apostles asked, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And I thought, could anything come with such acoustical feedback? Anything good? Right there. Amen. That was good with the acoustical feedback. Good try. Love you guys. That's all right. Are we reviving the instruments in this church? See, if you haven't been around, 25 years ago, that was just commonplace. And then we went a lot of voices. I like it. I like it. I like it. John chapter 8, you said, you sang, "Fill My Cup, Lord." So we're going to get a little opportunity. The preacher said that our attention span is about 5 minutes. Hopefully I can be done reading my text by then. I'm going to read John chapter 8, verse 33 to the end. I know it's a Sunday, but if you'll read the first 32 verses of the chapter, you'll have read a whole chapter in your Bible on a Sunday. Won't that be a blessing? Amen. John chapter 8, verse 33. Let's start in 32. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." That message is coming next week. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answering them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Nice guy, huh? They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye are Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil." Nice guy. "And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, and ye believe me not, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said to them, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, for there's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham's dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be like a liar like unto you." Nice guy. But I know him and keep his saying. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was," say those next two words. Amen. Now, if there's a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a Seventh-day Disadvantage or whatever it is, and they tell you, "Where did Jesus Christ say he was God?" Right there. And the people he was speaking to knew that. You know why? Because of the last verse. "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Father, thank you for those beautiful verses to fill our cups. I pray you'd bless your word to your people. Help me to convey it right across the plate, waist high where they can get it. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So John 8:31 to the end, can we agree Jesus is having a little trouble? Verse 33, they said, we are religiously superior to you. Verse 41, they slam his mother when they say, we be not born of fornication, implying he was. Verse 48, they say he's possessed with a devil and then give him a racial slur by saying you're a Samaritan. Verse 52, they call him a liar. Verse 53, they call him a self-exalting fraud. Verse 57, they say your claims are impossible. Verse 59, they get physically violent. Would you agree that Jesus is having a little trouble? Would you? Okay. Can I add that if we're going to be like Jesus, most likely we're going to have a little trouble. 2 Timothy 3:12 is still in the Bible, and it says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So I have to wonder, if the world loves me and I'm the world's best friend, I wonder if I'm living godly. I don't think so. John 15, Jesus Christ said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Of course, unless they don't know that I'm a friend of his or a child of his or an acquaintance of his, then how would they know to hate me? Jesus is having trouble with the world. And what is his crime? Verse 29, all he wants to do is please the Father. And verse 40, all he wants to do is pass on the message that he got from the Father. Now, here's our message. You know it. If you've been around for a while, our message from the Savior is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what's going to happen? If you obey the Great Commission, you're going to have trouble. If you live right enough and holy enough and separated enough and sanctified enough that others see it, guess what? You're going to have trouble. And so I just got 2 points with some sub-points today that might motivate us to stand courageously in the face of trouble that's brought on by a life lived for Jesus in a world and in a church that's trying to blend in. It helps me to stand up to trouble just simply knowing that he stood up to trouble for me. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 53, familiar passage. Fill my cup, Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Look at that. Despised, rejected, sorrows, grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Watch. What did he go through all that trouble for? Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Why? Because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I can face going through trouble for Jesus Christ because he faced going through trouble for me. And we retreat when they throw a finger up at us. We don't want to bow and pray in a restaurant because the waitress is coming and she might roll her eyes. Oh, Isaiah 53, burn in our hearts. We don't want to tithe and give to missions because I might face a little financial trouble. I'll have to go to Dunkin' for the $3.25 coffee instead of $6 for the $6.25 coffee. I can't go through that trouble. Listen, all men forsook him and fled. And we don't want to face a little trouble, a little sneer, a little shot from the guys at work. His visage was marred more than any men. What are you saying? I'm saying we can face trouble for him because he faced trouble for us. Can you help me? Amen. 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 Are we worthy to avoid trouble? When he went through all kinds of trouble for us, we might as well face it. When we live for God publicly, you're not going to get around it. And when I say live for God publicly, that means others know what we are. Doesn't necessarily have to be on a street speaking the gospel through a bullhorn. It could be the guy at work, the lady at the store, just knowing what we are. Listen, be it public praise, public proclamation, public peculiarity, you and I are going to have trouble. And the modern church is just doing everything to try to get around this truth. But take courage when faced with it. He went through trouble for us. So we're going to have trouble if we're like him. Just face it. That's why we need to come in here and get pep rallied up a little bit. We get in here and we get charged up. Listen, let me put a plug in for the midweek service. You know what the midweek service is? Now, I know that we don't know what clotheslines are anymore. But you see them old clotheslines in the country, brother, and that thing, that rope from one end to the other comes down. They put that thing and they prop it up in the middle. And you got the clothes hanging there propped up, you know, because sometimes the things get heavy. You know what the middle of the week service is? It's just a little propping up when the things get heavy. Hey, man, I just thought of that one. Woo! We're going to have trouble if we're like him. Which brings me to my title today. He's worth the trouble. Isn't it incredible what trouble we go through for carnal, temporal satisfaction? You know why we go through it? It's worth the trouble. You that play or played sports, you realize what you go through. Around this time of year, August, I love August. Cool nights, warm days, the fresh mown grass brings me back about years ago when the double sessions started in a couple weeks. And it was grueling. It was 8 to 11, grueling. We weren't sitting there doing, you know, scrimmage practice. It was just rolling around on the ground and wind sprints and up-downs and push-ups and sit-ups, 8 to 11, 1 hour, they called them skull sessions, trying to get all these plays into our thick skulls, and then it was 2 to 5, do it all over again. Lots of trouble. They would drop out like flies. They would quit. They would vomit on the field. But about 4 weeks later, Friday night under the lights, breaking through that paper under the goalposts, and Mary Ferraro over there, and Nikki Davis over there, everybody stand clear, GC is here, we're the best in the county west, so everybody stand clear, yeah, ooh. Angawa, Spartans got the power. Hey, ooh, Angawa, Spartans. Yeah, man. Guess what? It was worth the trouble. You take some of these guys that we are realizing they spend some time in the weight room. And if you're not a musclehead, you don't understand seeing somebody push that steel up and down.
Why are you doing that?
One more! One more! Why? it's worth the trouble. Get something that fits me a little bit better. You think about Thanksgiving dinner. Now, we have our midweek service on Tuesday. Thanksgiving's now because Wednesday is preparation day. Man, our kids that are in town all come over. Man, pies everywhere, and they're getting the stuffing ready and beating up the potato. Why are you going through all that? Because come Thursday, the family and the friends and the fellowship, little bit of God, the Black Friday ads, the Bills game. You say, preacher, you're sounding kind of worldly. That's exactly what I'm saying. We go through a lot of trouble for the temporal. Why? Because it's worth the trouble. Can I say to you, Jesus Christ is worth the trouble. He's worth the trouble of prolonged prayer. And I'm not even talking spiritual here. Let me break some news to you. The Bible says this: we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what prayer engages us in, a battle in the unseen. But I'll tell you, for most, that is not the battle, because most never get to that battle. The battle is with the flesh to get to the point to even engage in that battle. Am I the only one? I think it's coming up September 30th. Don't quote me on that. You worked all week. Saturday comes. You can get your grass cut. You got your little projects around the house, especially you guys that are working secular jobs for the man. Squeeze some signs in. I'll do signs in spite of projects, because I just feel like if you give God, Brother Jay taught me, if you give God a little bit of time, he'll make the other time with the stuff you got to go more smooth. And you get in, you have a nice dinner, take a nice shower, sit in that easy chair. It's about 5:15, and all of a sudden, oh man, I forgot about prayer meeting tonight. 6:30. Now you're looking at me like a tree full of owls, but I'll be honest. Why do they schedule it Saturday nights? And the still small voice come back and said, "You scheduled it, stupid." And we don't believe in drag queens, but there's a whole bunch of drag kings coming into that prayer meeting, man. Just looking peaked. But have you ever left a prayer meeting and said, man, I wish I didn't come? I'm not even talking about the results, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm talking about right now, dragging our sorry selves when we don't want to drag. Isn't it worth the trouble? He's worth the trouble of prolonged prayer. John Marshall would always say, pray till you pray. Just start. I hate the elliptical machine. I used to love the elliptical machine. I've got this thing in my hip now and it's bothering me, so I got to go on this nasty elliptical machine. You know what the hardest step on the elliptical machine is? The first step. Next thing you know, man, you're in the groove. Talk about vanity. You're going 100 miles an hour for an hour nowhere. You say, why do you do it? Because when I'm all done, it's worth the trouble. That's an extra piece of cheesecake. Well, actually, an hour, you get about a gumball out of that. It's worth the trouble to pray. He's worth the trouble of what we face in the light of public proclamation. Put that picture up there, would you, Joe, if we could see that? I would take you on a blast from the past now. Public proclamation. Now, we're going to talk, those are gospel tracts there. Those are the inclusive, loving, non-hateful people. They called them Goths. Okay, you could turn the lights back on. I'm going to talk next week about the irony of bondage, that sinners don't realize it. Now, I don't know if there's Goths anymore, but you don't see them like you used to. Who told you you had to put big, fat, black, baggy pants in a T-shirt and chains and eye makeup? Who told you that? Now, I'm not going to preach next week's message, but that's what we used to face when we went to Buffalo. For you that weren't here, every week we'd load up about 3 15-seat vans. You don't see too many of those in the parking lot anymore. I can remember that being so hot, and my air conditioning didn't work, and I had an inverter, Eric, and I plugged a box fan up on the front. It would, those poor people, we'd make the guys sit in the back, and they'd just be drenched. And we would just, I'm not talking about he that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father. I'm not talking about later yet. They would spit. They would steal our banners. They would have a little service and burn our tracks. And when we got back in those cars, these 14 and 15 and 16, it was awesome! Yeah, I got to talk to this guy, and he started shedding a tear, and this happened, and that happened. Well, what are they saying? He's worth the trouble. Listen, getting in trouble is half the fun. Don't you remember when you were a kid getting in trouble? Soaping windows on Halloween. We don't believe in Halloween, so don't get any ideas. Jesus is worth the trouble. And it does, you don't have to. When have you ever left signs on a Saturday and said, boy, it feels good? Luke 10. He's worth the trouble. So he tells these guys, can you imagine after what they saw him go through? He said, okay, now I'm going to send you guys forth 2 by 2. Really? Without you? Alone? And they go out. And they get in some trouble. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were excited. And if you ever, I don't care if you hand a tract, give a verbal witness, bow for prayer in a restaurant, get on a street corner and show a sign, lift up your voice, you know what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal in your heart immediately when you're done? He's worth the trouble. He's worth the trouble. Something special about being public for Jesus Christ. In your life, in your witness, in your testimony, in your song that screams loud and long, you know what? He's worth the trouble. Can I say he's worth the trouble of persistence? I think about Nicodemus. I preach a message called The Three Faces of Nicodemus. He shows up the first time. Obviously, he was watching. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Next time he shows up, the Pharisees are saying, is any good thing come out of Galilee and this and that? And he says, does our law judge it? Well, what are you, one of them too? And he's getting closer. And I think God was working on his heart. And finally, after the resurrection, he's found one of the ones anointing the body of Jesus. You know my experience as of late. My dad, the first time I witnessed to him, it was brutal. I know I've told it here, man. I fasted for at least a day. I was saved 1 year. The change in my life was radical. And I eked out the sentence, John, what do you think of the change in my life? And I didn't say a word for the next hour. He just railed on me, man. I remember we went to Florida and surprised them 1 year. All 9 kids, they got a 2-bedroom condo. And we got these kids scattered all over. And I think they were watching, first they were watching Fantasia. That gave me the creeps. And fortunately, my father was like, this is stupid. Yeah, this is stupid. Let's change it. And then something came. Well, the thing was, a bunch of them were scattered on the floor in the living room. And I don't remember what it was, but I know we didn't approve of it. And I just kind of came out and said, guys, come in here in a minute. And 11 of us slept in about a 9x10 room. And the next morning, he looked at me and said, what the blank is wrong with me? And away he went. And all them times we went out to lunch, and he had his half a sandwich down his throat when I said, can we pray? When I were in Florida, Jamie, I was so afraid to give him a track. I had a stack of Ron's tracks, and I on purpose, Sherry, dumped them behind the table like I spilled them and forgot them, and behind a little end table that they had in the bedroom there. I was afraid. And we'd have a funeral, and I'd get to give the gospel to him, or a wedding, and I'd get to the gospel to him, and every once in a while I'd eke something out. Never seemed to go good. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I get to the point sometime, you know what? You want to go to hell, go. It's not worth the trouble anymore. And 30 hours before he died, he said, can you lead me in a prayer? And at 2:19 last Thursday, you know what I found out? Persistence is worth the trouble. Aren't you glad he was persistent with you? Don't quit. He won't. I'm telling you, he's worth the trouble. He's worth the trouble of prayer. He's worth the trouble of public proclamation. He's worth the trouble of persistence. 1 Corinthians 3, Luke 19, Jude 1. 1 Corinthians 3, finishing up. You know when you really... And this has all been here and now. Man, that was worth it. Man, I don't regret serving him. Man, I don't regret giving for 30 years. Man, I don't regret going to that meeting every night of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, but in its fullness of the realization that he's worth the trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that's the bad stuff, every man's work shall be made manifest. This is when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not for salvation, but for what we did, for what trouble we went through shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And you know what I think? If I got a P, it was worth the trouble. Luke 19. You're going to get a reward. And I think a whole lot of them come now in this life. But there's more coming. Luke 19, verse 15. Came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You think it'll be worth it, even if he stopped just there? The God of heaven looking at you and said, good job. I waited for that all my life. And by the way, I don't know if I told this testimony. I waited for it all my life, man. Listen, words of affirmation are my love language. And I never got nothing of it. And about 25 hours before he died, he grabbed my hand and said, you're the rock of Gibraltar. I said, stop saying anything else. I'm taking all that to the bank right there. God saying, you did a good job. But it doesn't stop. Because thou hast been faithful over a very little, have authority over 10 cities. I want that right there. That's the city I want. I don't understand it all. I don't understand this, the millennial inheritance and all that thing, but it says what it says. You know what we're going to realize? We won't turn to the last verse in Jude. Behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, I've never ridden a horse, but the first one I ride is going to have wings. And I'm going to be riding. Here's my final point. Go to Romans 8. He's worth the trouble.
Oh, we can't date. Oh, we can't kiss. Oh, we can't roll around in the back seat. Oh, we can't wear this. And we can't have a bikini up our... We can't...
Really? When young people your age, 200 years ago, they stuck them on a stake when the tide was out and when it came in, and all they had to do was say, I deny him. And that tide came in and drowned them to death. Really? No. Romans 8. It's so hard. For I reckon that the... 18, sorry. 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The prayer, the proclamation, the persistence... He's worth the trouble. And if we really want to be honest, it's no trouble at all. Because if we really want to be honest, in the big scheme of things, didn't he save us from a lot of trouble? That Bible says, man is born unto trouble. Doesn't say the spiritual man, makes no difference. Doesn't say the spiritual man, doesn't say the lost man, doesn't say the evil man. It says man is born unto trouble. Man that is born of woman, no qualifications, is full of trouble. But it does say that the way of the transgressors is hard. And if you get saved and you get all in, and you live godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to have trouble. And to be honest, getting saved and getting all in is not going to exclude you from trouble. It's not going to exclude you from sickness and tragedy and relationship issues. The difference is, number one, we have a very present help in trouble. I've just been through a lot. I watched a man suffer bad. And I thought, I looked at people around me that don't have Jesus Christ. And all they could say is, he's not eating anything. He's got to eat. He's got 10 hours to live. He's got to eat. I'm glad that's not my hope today. Truth be told, he's probably saved us from more trouble than he added by having to live for him. September 30th, I think, prayer meeting. It's going to be a little, I promise you, it's going to be trouble. Your flesh is going to be tired. But can I say, he's worth the trouble. those little boxes on the back. Notice nobody stuck a basket in front of your nose. But you know what? If you go through that trouble of funding the work of God, you might have to do the Dunkin' instead of the Starbucks. Bad, isn't it? In fact, I was talking to someone today. They said, I refuse it. I'm doing a little 24-cent pods at home. But it's not really trouble. Signs next Saturday. Oh, man, middle of the day, 11 o'clock in the morning. Can I say, he's worth the trouble. Let's stand. And really, is it really trouble? Are we, not to be negative, but are we the sorriest, most anemic? Come on, you have to admit it. If you've read any church history, if you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, wimpiest believers in history. Jason, let's come and sing, It Will Be Worth It All. You know what we're going to realize? He's worth the trouble. It will be worth it all.